The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the path of practice that we're working on unfolds best when the mind is in some kind of a state of ease. And that's, you know, that's found in the written teachings, and it's also from my own experience. Now, this does not at all mean that what's happening is pleasant or that we're going through an easy time of, you know, what's coming up in experience. But as noted in the practice notes earlier, we can have a relationship of ease to what's happening. And so this atmosphere that we create in the mind is very important. As an example, if we are continually in a state of hostility or aversion or disapproval or anger with what is just happening normally, whether it's a pain in the body or an emotion that's coming up or a memory, if we have this kind of rejecting relationship of it in some way, we're actually creating a hostile environment in the mind, if you will. You know, we're poisoning the ecology in a certain way. And to put a particular way of thinking on it, we could say that there are some mind states that won't arise if they don't feel safe in the mind. If there's this hostile atmosphere of continual rejection of what's coming, there are certain things in the mind that just aren't going to show themselves. And so if we're really intent on seeing what's happening in our experience, seeing everything about our mind and body that we can, that's present, there needs to be some kind of an establishment of what I like to call inner safety. So inner safety in the mind. To what degree do we consider that, and do we intend to create an environment like that? So I'd like to offer today some guidelines for inner safety in the mind. And these are things that have come to me over time practicing, and I've found them very helpful to even say them at the beginning of a sit, for example, or just to bring them to mind in some way. And if you'd like, you're welcome to use them. You're also welcome to modify them if the way I've stated it doesn't quite work, but a variation would work for you. Or, by all means, invent your own. You know, invent other ones that are meaningful for you. So these guidelines for inner safety, I'll offer five. So the first two are just general. They can be offered into the mind as a overall kind of safety. And these two are: it is okay for anything to arise, and it is okay for anything to cease. Now, maybe I should have put those at the end, because those are very powerful. If you're really willing for those to be true, it's very powerful in the mind and can even release things that you didn't know you were holding on to right at that moment. But that's kind of a general setting of the tone, if you will. Just the willingness to be with what might come, and to allow what is there to have its own life and end when it needs to. And then the remaining three are more specific, and I think of them as being almost addressed to the quieter, shyer states of mind that are maybe a little more hidden, a little more subtle, that we would hope to be able to meet during our practice also. And the first, I'll give it to you in the language that it came to me, The first is, you will not be made to speak. And what that means is that what arises doesn't have to be shared. It can be just something that we hold for ourselves, and we don't have to share it with our partner, with our friends, even with a teacher. You know, it's okay that there can be things coming that are completely in the moment and not to be made into something else, not to be made into speech later, conceptualized in some way. And this provides a certain amount of safety for the mind states that aren't ready to be out in public, if you will. I'm using a lot of fairly psychological language, but I think it's well supported in the teachings. This is a creation of metta, essentially a non-hostile atmosphere. So then the fourth principle of inner safety, or guideline for inner safety, is you will not be dismissed or mocked. And I found this important in my practice because there can be mind states that arise or things that show themselves that I have a kind of a hostile relationship to, and so there can be a dismissal. I don't want to see that. I'm done with that. I don't want that right now. Or mocked in the sense of that's a very immature mind state, and kind of dismissing it in that way, saying I should be beyond that. But really, what arises is just arising. You know, mocking it or dismissing it is an identification, as if it's about me, which it isn't. You know, what's coming is what's coming, and just allowing it to be is having a non-hostile relationship to it. And then the final guideline that I'll offer is, in a way, the hardest one to practice with, and it is, you will not be made into something that you're not. So this is it can go quite deep. You know, first of all, it's not misidentifying what's arising. So if anger is arising, you have to say, yes, that's anger. It's not, that's difficulty or irritation or something. No, actually, that's anger. So be clear. You know, be clear that what's arising is what's arising. But also, much more subtly, what's arising should not be made into a self or into something that defines us, something that limits us, something that we need to defend ourselves against in some way. It's really just arising because the conditions for it are there. And so, but this gets very subtle because there are certain things that we don't want to be there and we don't want ourselves defined as. And then there are things that arise that we do want to define ourselves as. Oh, how lovely a thought of generosity arose. I'm such a generous person. We can go off that way. So we identify it. Yes, this is a generous, helpful thought. And that's just what it is. It's not made into something more than that. So these five guidelines, if you will, it's okay for anything to arise. It's okay for anything to cease. It will not be made to speak or turned into words if it doesn't need to be. Things that arise will not be dismissed or mocked, nor will they be made into what they are not. These help to create an environment in the mind where we have really a chance of developing wisdom. You know, this is an environment where we are meeting experience as it comes and completely open to it in a way. And we are not turning it into something personal, our own story, our own drama. And it's said that a mind like this, this is why mindfulness is said to be kind attention. So it's attention that is non-hostile. I've heard the teachers today are even saying loving attention for mindfulness. And it brings in the kind of the role of the kind and good heart in the wisdom practices. Often we're taught that metta is its own thing, and then there's vipassana practice, or there's mindfulness, and then you could take one session a day and do metta if you want, something like that. I think they're much more connected. The brahmaviharas, the wise states of heart, the beautiful emotions are infusing. When they infuse awareness and mindfulness, that's when the mind can really open and start to see things as they really are without the entanglement of all of our stuff that would otherwise go with them. So a mind that is not caught up in itself so much because it has this very kind and generous and open attitude can begin to see what are called universal characteristics. You know, this is the doorway to seeing impermanence, to seeing suffering, to seeing not self in a way that's not so personal. So I hope you'll take some inspiration from this and find what is useful for you in creating an atmosphere of inner safety from which your mind can feel free to show what's arising and passing and really allow that to be seen. There's a nice analogy in the suttas that the mind is like a watering hole in the jungle. And if we just sit very quietly there, all the interesting animals will come. And, you know, you'll get to see everything eventually because they all have to come to the water hole at some point. But you can imagine if you're sitting there making noise or making rude comments about each animal that arrives, there's some that are going to hear about that and not really show up. So, you know, be a little careful about how you tend the watering hole of the mind. So, may we all find inner safety and inner peace. Thank you.